This is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station. WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
This is the word of Jesus Christ to the dead church today. Wake up. Wake up or else.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. Paul Esposito here with you. Happy Wednesday. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of it to join me as we together study the word of Almighty God. And that's what we're doing here today. We're right smack dab in the middle of a sermon I just preached the other day at Island Community Church. Now, if you like what you hear here on the radio, I invite you to come by Island. We're a small church, if you haven't gathered that yet, especially from this sermon here. You know, because sometimes you look at a church that doesn't have a lot of people on it, or people in it, and people erroneously say, well, so-and-so, you see, that's a dead church. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us the exact opposite here in this message today. This is a church with a huge reputation, the church at Sardis. The Lord Jesus says, you've got a killer rep. You see, you've got a reputation that you are alive, but you're dead. Ironically, it's the big church that was the dead one. Have you ever seen big churches that are dead? You see, it's not how many people you have. It's not how much money you have. It's not how big particular programs are that makes you a living church. You see, what makes a church living is by how many transformed lives there are on the inside. How many cigarette packages have been crushed? How many alcohol bottles have been smashed and broken? How many people hunger and thirst after righteousness, whereas they didn't before? This is what makes a living church. I don't care if there's 10 people in it or 10,000 people in it. There are a lot of huge churches, vibrant and alive, that are doing it right. That's what makes a living church. And here today, again, we're looking at what makes a dead church. This church had a reputation. They've got a name that they live, but Jesus said, thou art dead. This is what we're looking at here today. And with all these churches, you could find yourself in any one of these. A corrupt church, like we looked at last week, Thyatira, that is putting up with false teaching in the church, or a persecuted church. Next week, we're going to look at the faithful church of Philadelphia. Maybe you find yourself there. And the week after that, we're going to end this little series here of churches. Maybe you'll find yourself in a lukewarm church. I love what my good friend Pastor Dan Stahlbaum says about being lukewarm. And that is being the same temperature as your surroundings. We'll get to that in the coming weeks. Here today now is the next part of the dead church at Sardis.
Most people here are much closer to God than they were before. And they look much more like Jesus than they did before. The Holy Spirit's at work in everyone here. See, sometimes we look at a church and how big it is, how many people were coming, and they say, I can hear it now in the parking lot. Oh, Mabel, that's a dead church. It's not dead by how many people are inside. It's dead by what comes out of the pulpit. If I tell you it's all right to sin, that's what Israel did. And they put up with sin in the temple. And Ezekiel saw the glory of God leave and depart. It's sin that makes the glory of God leave. Not how many people are here. Not how much money's in the bank. God will still bless a church that's doing it right. You know, I'll say that until my dying breath here in this church. God will still bless a church that's doing it right, that calls sin, sin, that preaches the whole counsel of God from Genesis to Revelation, that still gets up and tells you that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe that. He says, I know your works, but this time it's not in a good way. This time he's turning around. Now remember, before he complimented the last church for their works. Here he's going to turn it on them this time. He's going to turn around what they thought as a positive because they were deceived into a negative. I know your works. As I look at this church, it seems to me that they've got no commendation here, only a warning and a correction. Verse 2. Be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready or about to die, for I have not found your works perfect before God. My translation says, and the New American Standard, I have not found your works perfect before my God. I love the way the New American Standard reads here. In verse 2, it says, wake up! Exclamation point. This is what Jesus says to the dead church today that's putting up with sin inside of its doors. He says, where's the dog? Out there? Wake up, people! Wake up! Strengthen the things that remain. This is the word of Jesus Christ to the dead church today. Wake up. Wake up or else. Figure out what you're doing right and build on it. What are you doing right? Where are you lacking? Why are you dead? Let's fix these problems here today. If you're interested, that is. If you're dead, then you just don't care. Unlike the lukewarm church. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. But if you shall not watch, then I'll come on you like a thief, and you will not know. Actually, in Greek, it's you will by no means know. Meaning, here it is, Darren, you can bet your what? You can bet your sweet bippy you're not going to know when this is. Well, it's a double negative in Greek. It's an absolute emphatic. Meaning, I guarantee, as the Louisiana cook would say, guarantee you're not going to know when this is. That's what Jesus says. I guarantee that you will not know at what hour I will come upon you. What's the remedy for a dead church? Notice first, there is a remedy, okay? There is a remedy if you're in a dead church. He wrote this to the pastor. If you're the pastor of the dead church, there is a remedy for it. The first thing is wake up. Out of his own mouth, wake up. Smell the coffee. Time is short. Here in this country, if you think this country can continue like this for two more generations, you are deceived. The United States of America cannot go on for two generations. That's 80 years. You can't go on for 80 years. You can't go on for two generations. It's time for the church to rise up and wake up, he says. It's time to stop playing church and take your faith seriously. And that is, don't approve of evil. If I die and you got to elect another pastor, don't elect a pastor. Don't approve of evil. Don't elect a pastor that doesn't believe the entire Bible is true. And it should be interpreted literally when possible. That's your job when you elect a pastor. Elect a pastor that believes in traditional marriage, that won't marry two men or two women. Did you know now in California, if you went to someone who was a transgender and told them that God loves them, that's punishable by jail now? It is now against the law in the state of California to give hope to a transgender or homosexual. You will be put in jail for it. So that's number one. Wake up. Romans 13:11. Oh, the anti-conversion therapy law is what it's called. Where it's against the law, and I think it's only to children, to those that are under 18 years old. If you go to someone under 18 years old and offer them hope that Jesus Christ will set you free and that you've been deceived, or anything that you say to someone under 18 years old who is a transgender, you will go to jail for that. Romans 13:11, it says, knowing it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Okay, number two, second remedy for a dead church. Remember. Remember. Remember how it used to be. Remember how it used to be in this country? When every bar and liquor store was closed on a Sunday? What did they call them? Does anyone remember? Blue laws. Yeah. Blue laws. I guess because everyone was blue because they couldn't go out and get some, right? Ballantine. It made your day blue. You want to make my day blue? Keep me out of this house. I'll be as blue as they get. Keep me away from my God and in the house of my God. The day after my wife died, there was no place to be other than right here. Anywhere else would have made me blue except for right here. Because this is where I need to be. Because this is where God is. And this is where I connect with him. And everything is made right. It's right here. I'm going to chain a bed to this pulpit. That's what I've learned. I share it with you. Pastor, your wife died. Why don't you take some time off? No, I know the secret and I share it with you. This is where I need to be. Not somewhere else. Right here. Blue laws. Remember. Remember, God instructed the Jews to erect some stones for a remembrance. So go back to where your stones are. Back to where and when God moved mightily in your life. Remember how it used to be.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time.